I want to start with saying that tonight's the last class of this series, Mitzvah Universe. We're going to end the series over here for several different reasons. And we're going to, I hope to share a class with the community on March 16th, Tuesday, March 16th, which is 2 weeks before Pesach, on a Pesach-related topic. And then, probably after Pesach, we'll start a new series. And we can discuss what that will be.
Maybe not the first week, not here, the first week after Passover?
No.
That first Tuesday, not good.
Okay. Okay. So what's the date? What's that date?
It's like is 10, it April, 11, 12.
April 13th?
Yeah.
Right. So April 20th we'll start?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. And hopefully I'll have an opportunity to distribute. We made a class last year called Make It Count on Sfiras HaOmer, on counting the Omer. So I think Alex recorded some of the classes for me. So I have some at home. I think I have most of the classes at home. So maybe we'll be able to put them all on one CD and maybe we can duplicate that if possible and make it available for people. Otherwise I'll have to repeat the whole series. But, which wouldn't be a bad thing for me to do. But that way people can listen to that during Sfiras HaOmer, which begins Pesach time. So maybe we'll get a chance to make it available before Pesach. We'll see. I also want to I want to thank the Shapiros for for continuously hosting this class.
Yes.
And they could have kicked me out a long time ago.
But
I'm very, very grateful. Really, tremendously grateful. It's such a hospitable place to get this year. It's so comfortable. Everyone's so cozy with blankets and everything.
tea and
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
And everything. I mean, it's great. I mean, the water's great. It's just great. I really enjoy it. Very much, and I'm really, really grateful for that. And in that merit, you should continue to always have bracha and atzlacha in your home.
Amen.
Always bringing Torah to your home is the greatest thing you could do with your home. It's just unbelievable. Your home should always have the Shekhinah in it, and always have a lot of bracha and atzlacha. And I also want to thank every single person who's here tonight or not here tonight, who makes such a great effort. I know it's a major effort for a lot of people to leave what they're doing, or you know, to not schedule anything else on that night, and to make a commitment to come. Almost everybody here makes it like a weekly commitment to come, and that's and to be engaged and to think about it and talk about it. It should be a schus for all of us, and it's a tremendous honor for me to have had the opportunity to lead this group in discussion. So thank you very much, everybody, for that. I really, really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So on that note, we're talking about mitzvos, and we're coming to the conclusion of mitzvos. And the question is, what's the theory? You know, how am I putting together, like, which classes do I choose? Like, how do I come up with these mitzvos to choose? And it's really a matter of... get a little bit sentimental and spiritual about it. It's a matter of a certain tone and inspiration, something that I'm kind of connecting to at different times. And those are the mitzvot that I wanted to speak about. I thought that in the beginning we spoke about mitzvot benatan lechavero, which was very important to speak about. And then the other mitzvot are mitzvot that I personally have, you know, would like to explore as a group. And this last mitzvah, I think is very appropriate for us to study as a group and to think about as we conclude our sessions. And what is this mitzvah? The truth is not everybody counts this as a mitzvah. But we're going to see the Ramban counts this mitzvah as a mitzvah. What is this mitzvah? So if I were to say it in English, it would be being wholehearted with Hashem. Tamim tiye im Hashem Elokecha. It's being wholehearted with Hashem. And really, you know, an amazing thing that the commentaries point out, the Baal HaTurim, the well-known commentary on the Chumash, the Baal HaTurim, and also the Maharal of Prague, they both point out that that in the Torah scroll, we all know, the letters of the Aleph Beis are all uniform size. Except, throughout the Tanakh, you have sometimes a large, you have the large aleph base, and you also have the miniature aleph base. It's connected to Purim, actually, because in the 10th chapter, I believe it's the 10th, in the 9th chapter of Megillah, the large tuf appears. I think it's the 9th chapter. It says, Vatichtov Esther. So the Vatichtov, and Esther wrote. She wrote the whole Megillah. Esther and Mordechai wrote the Megillah. Primarily Esther. That's what it says in the verse. Now the word Vatichtov, Vav, Tav, Chaf, Tav, Vet. So the first Tav is large. Vatichtov, and she wrote. So Tav is large. For example, we know that different letters, we can go through different places in the Torah where there's small letters and large letters. I don't have to mention different. I mentioned a few places. For example, at the beginning of Parshat Chayei Sarah, when Abraham returned, and he mourned Sarah, so it says lispod l'Sarah, to eulogize Sarah, v'liv kota, and to cry for her. So the kaf of liv kota is small. So we have actually three sets of aleph bays. We have the uniform aleph bays, the large aleph bays, and the small aleph bays that are dispersed throughout the Tanakh. So according to some versions, believe it or not, there is a discussion about, we obviously every single letter of Torah is the same for all our traditions. There's a discussion though with regard to the large letters and the small letters. In some Sephardic Sefer Torah, the letter Tav is large in this parsha of Tamim Tihiyeh. You should be wholehearted. Tamim. Tamim is spelled Tav Mem Yud Mem. And the first Tav, the Tav is large in the Sephardic Sefer Torah. I don't think it is in our Sefer Torah. Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. So apparently the Maharal of Prague had this version in his Sefer Torah. The Baal HaTurim, the commentary in the Chumash, he did as well. So why is the Tav large? What's the significance of the large Tav over here specifically? Why is it? It's not by chance that there's a large Tav over here. Again, I don't think in our Sefer Torah we have a large Tav over here. But in some Sefer Torah, in some communities, this is where they made the large letter Tav. So it's significant. The large letter means that there's something very great that's happening over here. There's something bigger than what you would normally think, just the ordinary verse. Something much larger. So the Baal HaTurim says that if a person observes this mitzvah, of Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha, it's like he's observed the entire Torah from Aleph through Tav. It's observed the entire Torah. It's a much greater mitzvah. Being wholehearted with Hashem, having a relationship with Hashem, which is with humility, with faith, with simplicity, following Hashem. I'll hope to expand on it. That kind of relationship with Hashem, that kind of lifestyle with Hashem, is basically the foundation of the entire Torah. That's why the Tav is big. And the Maharal says, we're going to learn a little bit from the Maharal tonight, and the Maharal says that the letter Tav is large because it demonstrates a higher quality that you wouldn't get from most other mitzvos. This mitzvah demonstrates a higher quality that you're with Hashem. This mitzvah links you to be with Hashem. You live your life with Hashem. We're going to explore that a little bit. That develops a much higher level. So, in conclusion of our mitzvah series, when we're talking about mitzvos, I could not help but discuss this mitzvah, which is most profound. It is literally the basis of how a Jew lives his or her life. How do we live our life?
On Sunday we learned in the class with Rabbi Levine that all Torahs are written the same. So if this is saying that one is different than another, how does that, it's kind of like if it's good for them, why isn't it good for us? And right. This comes down to being a custom issue, why aren't they all written the same then?
Not all the Torahs are written exactly the same. There are variations in how exactly the Torahs are written. The details are so minute. like this, for example. We don't write the word differently, we write the word the same. There is one place, I think, in the Yemenite Sifrei Torah where they replace a hey with an aleph or something
that.
There is a place where they replace a hey with an aleph.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Did he mention
that? Yeah, he mentioned that.
Okay.
It's at the end of the word. I can't remember what
yes.
the word it was.
I don't remember what the word was.
In one word? In one word?
Yes. Yeah. But there are variations, and that's a fact. There are variations, different... It's not like every community has a different Sefer Torah, God forbid. We all have the same Sefer Torah, but there are very minor variations dating back to, unfortunately, due to the exile. We have very, very minor community changes in the Sefer Torah itself. That is a reality. It's unfortunate. There used to be the original Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was stored in the temple, and then Ezra copied from that scroll. So there was like a manuscript, like the original script. But as communities were, you know, all over the world, there were very, very minor changes. Like this one is a minor change. That's a matter of.
So it's not considered like a text. It's just a letter, size of the letter.
Size of the letter, but like I mentioned, is I think that. If I'm not mistaken, there is a place, I think the Yemenites have a slight variation. Rabbi Levin said it was the Yemenite community?
Yeah. I think so.
There is one place, I think, in the whole Torah, and I actually learned about it when I was much younger in day school. There's one place in the whole Torah, I think it's in Sefer Devarim, could be researched very easily. There's one place where there's a variation. I don't remember right now where that is. I'm sorry. So they're not... One should not walk away from this discussion thinking that, the Sefer Torahs aren't identical anyways. I mean, what's the authenticity of the Torah and so on? Certainly not that. And we also shouldn't think like, oh, so Sefer Torah are different. Well, maybe some words were changed and so on. It's not like that at all. The variations are minimal. They're very, very few. And whatever changes there are, whatever variations there are, they're few and far between. There's very few of them, and it's a minor change. And it's due to the fact that that's the reality. We're in different communities. We've developed a certain tradition due to the course of the exile. It's unfortunate, but that's the reality.
It's amazing you're at war.
Exactly.
Given that it's
it's unfortunate that we have any, but that's the reality. So I could not leave the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha, which is literally the foundation of all the Torah, to not discuss it in this class. We have to. Additionally, those of us that recently made a siyum know. that in the Siyum text, when you conclude something, so we see a beautiful pasuk, and I think we talked about it when we finished the Way of God, Derech Hashem. Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha. May my heart be whole, complete, in your statutes. Hashem, you taught me Torah. I recognize I just went through a whole course of study. I want my heart to be whole, to be wholehearted, with these statutes. And we're going to learn right now what that means. In short, when we start developing a certain sense of wisdom and understanding in the Torah and how things work, we develop a sense of a cleverness, something that's, we become really aware of the intricacies, and then we can start to use our mind to navigate around the mitzvah to our benefit. And unfortunately, if one has that kind of heart to use the mitzvah to their advantage, quote unquote advantage, so then the mitzvah becomes a tool of destruction for them, not a tool of growth and life for them. So what we pray for at the end of a course of study is Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha. My heart should be whole in your statutes, that I shouldn't start to use them as a means of navigating to fit my lifestyle. I want to be wholehearted. I want to develop a sense of a simple-heartedness. I want to develop a sense of simplicity and give myself over to the Torah instead of using my wisdom to use my own, you know, my divergent thoughts and apply the Torah to that so that I can get around things. Now that I have more wisdom, I use it to destroy my spiritual self as opposed to improve on my spiritual self. So that's what we pray for at the end. That's also why it's significant for us tonight to talk about the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. So what is this mitzvah? So let's think of the words for a moment. The Torah tells us that you're going to come to the land of Israel, and there's going to be people over there that are magicians, and that are, you know, they call up the dead, and they, you know, they tell the future. Don't do that. No one in the, none of the Jewish people should ever adopt this type of practice, this type of profession. Rather, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. You should be wholehearted with Hashem. Now the word Elokecha, your God, we know means more than just Hashem, your God. Elokecha means Hashem, who is all-powerful, who manipulates the world course, the course of history that orchestrates everything for your good. Elokecha. He's your Elohim. He's your orchestrator. He orchestrates things for the benefit of the Jewish people. Hashem has an invested interest in the Jewish people. And therefore Hashem orchestrates everything in the world bishvil Yisrael, for us, either for us to learn a lesson or for our benefit, somehow to further our cause. So, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Be wholehearted with Hashem, who manipulates the entire world, not in a bad way manipulates, but orchestrates the entire world for our benefit. Meaning, look beyond what we see. Realize Hashem is Elokecha. Hashem is your God, your guide. Hashem has a plan. We should be wholehearted with that plan. The mitzvah is to be wholehearted with that. Listen to how the Ramban explains the mitzvah. Okay, the Ramban says the following. I'm going to translate into English, okay, as I scan the Hebrew. It says like this, that we should unite our hearts to serve Him alone, and we should believe in Him alone, that He made everything and knows the truth of all the future. And from Him alone, we should ask about the future, from a prophet, or from the, you know, in the days of the temple, the breastplate of the Kohen had the name of the 42-letter name of Hashem was inserted inside, and the stones would light up, the Urim V'Tumim. We should turn to them. And we should not turn to those, you know, let's say, you know, he's talking about like, you know, old world scientists, you know, like astrologers that are going to look at the world, and we'll listen to them. But if we hear something from them about the future, we'll say, what should we say? Hakol bidei shamayim. You're telling me the future is like that? It could be. But Hashem runs the world. You should know Hashem. I should know with perfect faith Hashem runs the world. In other words, you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you, God forbid, there's a terminal illness, you know, or whatever the particulars are, and he tells you, listen, according to scientific data, X, Y, Z, you say, Hakol bidei shamayim. It doesn't mean you shut your eyes and you ignore the reality. But you realize that it's all in Hashem's hands. The future is in Hashem's hands. Hashem is my leader. Hashem is my guide. Everything is in Hashem's hands. Because Hashem is supreme over everything. He has all the power. Oh, Hashem could change all of the permutations of how science is, of how things are. Hashem can make a miracle. Anything is possible. Nothing is beyond Hashem. If Hashem wants to change something, who's going to stop him? Nobody. So you have the perfect faith in Hashem. Hashem is over everything. And we should believe, concludes the Ramban, we should believe that everything is guided based on how near a person comes to Hashem. The more, the closer a person comes to Hashem, that is what guides the relationship, or if you will, the reaction of Hashem. Not the science, you look at the scientific data, it might say X, Y, Z. It doesn't mean that spells the future. Because everything is, that's the science is this, the kind of like the statement of what is right now. What will be in the future? Hashem is in control of the future. The future is not determined, predetermined by the science. What is in the future? Hashem obviously made like nature, right? So things run their natural course. But Hashem is the one who's in charge of everything. So just if things look bleak, or things look good, it doesn't mean that things will continue to be good or continue to be bad. Hashem, it's all a matter of understanding that it's with our service to Hashem that things are affected up and down due to our relationship with Hashem. That is the mitzvah, how the Ramban puts it. And Rashi adds that that is when you're with Hashem. Meaning, tamim tiyeh, when you are wholehearted, then you're im Hashem Elokecha. Then you're with Hashem. Rashi says that. Rashi says you'll be with Hashem when you're wholehearted. If a person is involved in their own bubble of their world, they think that everything is within, it's like human, the human world, void of God, void of Hashem's guidance. So everything is like within our bubble. So then you're not with Hashem. You're looking for, well, how can I manipulate my way? How can I maneuver around in this world? That's what I'm looking for. How I can navigate through the world. Then I am not being tamim. I'm actually not being wholehearted. I'm not being a creation of Hashem. And understanding that it's fitting is a creation of Hashem to rely fully on Hashem. I'm looking to break that link. I'm looking to break that link, and I'm looking to develop my own system and how I can navigate through it. In that course, I'm not with Hashem. But if I'm tamim, if I revert, and if I relax myself into a state of mind that I'm going to do what's fitting and what's right and what's proper, the way Hashem created the world, that's how I'm going to act as a creation. I'm going to bring out my potential. I'm going to follow what I understand with the best of my knowledge, and by asking prophets or asking, let's say nowadays, asking people that have great Torah knowledge who can understand the way the world should be, and I look for that guidance, then I will be im Hashem Elokecha. That's the route to be with Hashem. The route to connect to Hashem, to connect with Hashem, is a route of being settled in understanding our true role in this world. It's not about finding, you know, how we can navigate the world. Can anyone think of an example in the Chumash, in the Torah, where we have a story? Any stories or any things come to mind where a person leaves that track of being wholehearted with Hashem and starts to gain ways of how to craft things and work things? Let me stand up again, if you don't mind. Does anyone remember that anywhere?
I'm not sure.
It's the story of when Abraham and Sarah go to Egypt, and he says, please tell everybody you're my sister. Can I give you an example of that?
Okay. Okay. So
with Abraham just showing and saying Hashem trusted in Hashem to go away from his land.
That's what the Ramban says. Both of you are touching on the same point. That's exactly what the Ramban says. Abraham Avinu, on his level, he should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. God told him, go to the land of Canaan and live there, and I'll be with you. And Hashem made a famine. Hashem was testing Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu should have stayed. The Ramban says, would you ever think God is going to let Avraham Avinu starve to death? Of course not. It might be very, very difficult, but Hashem is going to test him. And according to the Ramban, Avraham Avinu failed the test. Because Avraham Avinu looked for ways on his level. It's probably something that we would all do. But Avraham Avinu looked for a way to escape that trial. In a way that, on his level, was like, there Avraham Avinu, so to say, broke the link. Because Avraham Avinu started to go into his own world. Well, how can I find a way out? Oh, I'll go to Egypt. He didn't rely wholeheartedly on Hashem. And the Ramban says that's why Sarah was taken by Paro. She was taken by Paro because he shouldn't have been there. And that was a punishment. And Avraham Avinu had a certain process of tshuva in Mitzrayim, and Sarah was returned, and so on. What's another example that we have in the Torah?
Yosef.
Yosef, what happened with Yosef?
Well, he didn't believe that God would let him out, so he asked the butler to, you know, remind him to...
Okay.
Zachartani.
Right, it was Zachartani.
Yeah,
Zachor Zachartani. Right? Right? He said twice. He said if you surely remind me to Paro, remember me on the day that you come out. Right. So for that he got two extra years, because Yosef had seen Hashem's guidance until that very point. And he should have realized that he should have perfect faith in Hashem on his level. For him, that was breaking the link and going into your own bubble. And I'll add one other famous example. Adam HaRishon, first man. The Nachash, the snake, the serpent, whatever that all means, but the serpent, the Torah says, Arum Mikola Behema. He was the most conniving, you know, manipulative, crafty creature, the Nachash. And Adam, before he sinned, was Atam. He was simple-hearted. Adam HaRishon didn't have it. So what did the Nachash say to Adam? Says the Maharal. The Maharal says this. Says the Maharal, the Nachash, the serpent, came to Adam and said, Adam, I'm going to give you wisdom. You'll be like God. You will have the knowledge of good and evil. And then you'll be like God. Right? You'll have that wisdom. What happened was that extra wisdom, the knowledge of good and evil, Tov V'ra, knowing all the choices, gave Adam, that, as we all know, it went into Adam, it went inside, and that is the source of his deficiency. That is the source of his eventual downfall. The fact that he allowed for deficiency to creep in. Before that, Adam would have lived forever. And why would he have lived forever? Because he was Tamim, he was wholehearted with Hashem. But because Adam allowed the Nachash to come in and start introducing the good and the bad, and now he has to make choices, so that itself turned him from a Tam to a different type of person, to a person who now needs to weigh his options. Weighing your options, you're now no longer simple-hearted with Hashem. That's called being a Yashar, a straight person. Yashar. A Yashar, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and the Maharal, and others, they explain that the difference between being a Tam, a simple-hearted person, and a Yashar, is that a Yashar, a straight person, a person in the middle path, is a person who has all the information, or wants to amass all the information, and then weigh all the options, and then make a decision. Now that's a wonderful way that's fine. That's a very noble way to live, because you follow the Torah, you look at all the options, follow the Torah, and then you make that decision. That's a wonderful way to live. But sometimes you could be mistaken in your weighing of the options. And you're taking upon yourself a responsibility of making the right decision. There's a higher level. The higher level is being a Tam. A Tam is a person who doesn't weigh options. Meaning, we have to be careful, right? We have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean someone who says, I don't want to hear about anything. You know, just live like that. It doesn't mean to live like this. It means that I'm not going out and I'm looking for other options, and I'm looking to how to manipulate and turn around, you know, things so that it's to my advantage, and I have all kinds of calculations, all the pros and the cons of every side of the coin. No, that's called being a yashar. You're going down in the level when you do that, because you start to move away from Hashem. You start to build your own bubble, and start to think, well, what are all the hashbonos? What are all the calculations and all the different schemes I can use to my advantage? Well, you might be successful, but sometimes a person fails. But if a person says, I'm going to live my life to the fullest potential, if things come my way, that means Hashem sent them my way, and He wants them to happen. And when He wants them to happen, I'll use my full potential to actualize myself. Ah, if you're looking for your full potential to actualize yourself in the way Hashem sends, Hashem's going to send you opportunities. It's going to come your way, right? Whether it's talking about whatever the life situations are. It doesn't mean a person should like not seek a job, right? It doesn't mean a person should like, a person is unemployed, they'll say, whatever Hashem sends my way, I'm not going to do my, you know, my effort. No, a person obviously has to do effort. But when a person is in a track, they're doing, they're succeeding, they're doing, they're growing, they're thriving. For a person in that kind of situation to then say, you know what, let's look at all the options. You know, let's expose all the options. And then I'll make an educated decision about what the best course is. Well, then you're not being with Hashem. You're not allowing Hashem Elokecha, Hashem, to guide you. You're then taking the guidance upon yourself, and it can be mistaken. But the Maharal says a beautiful thing, and it brings to mind the story. Beautiful thing. The Maharal says that when it comes to your own life, your own personal matters, that's where you should be a tam, a simple, a wholehearted, you know, just saying, well, what Hashem brings my way, that's what I should do, and I'll actualize myself. But when it comes to other people, when something about for someone else, don't be a tam, be a yashar. That's where you need to weigh all the options. For other people, don't rely on your own bitachon. It brings to mind a story. I want to share with you a story. When I was in yeshiva 11 years ago, my rabbi told me this story. Not my rabbi that you know, a different rabbi that I had, that I studied with every day in yeshiva. You should be well. And he told me the following story. He said that, you know, he was an amazing person. I might edit this out of the class, but his name is Rabbi Levinson. He's a Rebbe of mine. He lives in Israel. He's an elderly man. He's a very big tzaddik. He's truly a big tzaddik. His whole life is literally around doing chesed and Torah. There's nothing else. Literally. It's nothing. He lives in a bare apartment, and he's absolutely, entirely devoted to study and tefillah. It's just astonishing. He's like from a different world, this man. Okay? His whole life, all he did was study and pray and do mitzvos and do chesed, and he raised his family, and his family is also tremendous Torah scholars, and from the money that he saved, he put pennies together from his whole life. He bought apartments for his children in Israel and his grandchildren in Israel. Unbelievable. So one time he went to Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the head, was probably the oldest, greatest rabbi of Rosh Yeshiva in this last century. You know, the big great Rosh Yeshiva Rav Shach from Bnei Brak. And he told Rav Shach, he said to him, listen, my granddaughter is 15 years old. She's going to get married in, you know, I don't know, 5-6 years. You know, I buy apartments for all my children and grandchildren. I have some money put away. But this is a great catch. So he said, so this was his question to Rav Shach. He said, should I buy the apartment now? You know, and it's a lack for me, he said, for me, that's a lack of my faith in Hashem, my bitachon. When the time comes, there'll be something available. I have to plan now to buy something. You know, maybe it's not according to my own personal bitachon, my level of faith in Hashem. Maybe I should wait when the time comes. I shouldn't go out and look for a place. You know, when the time comes, then something will come. You know, then I'll buy something. Even though it's a great catch right now, maybe I should have more bitachon. So Rav Shach told him, he said, bitachon, that's for you. For other people, don't be such a baal bitachon. You know, for you, you can have that bitachon. For you, you can have that faith. For other people, don't be saying, oh, Hashem will help, Hashem will help. No, that's not how you work for other people. So that's what the Maharal actually says right here. It's astonishing. I saw that tonight. The Maharal says that a tam, each one of us, for our own life, to develop a personal connection with Hashem, that we feel we're with Hashem all the time, is to be a tam. That each one of us needs to be a tam. We need to be a simple, wholehearted person. That we look, we know, we hear Hashem's voice. We hear Hashem speaking to us. What is the right thing for us to do? And we follow that. We hear that. We, obviously, I'm not talking about hearing things in your head. I'm talking about understanding the deeper meaning of my life. What's my role in the world? And following that to our full potential. Each one of us has that experience, or the guidance at least, to find people that can help us understand what is that role and to actualize ourselves. That's for ourselves. But for other people, when someone else comes to you for advice, or someone else comes to you for, you know, for you have the opportunity to help someone else, so you don't say, don't worry, Hashem will provide. No, if it's up to you to provide for someone else, you need to go and you have to be active. You have to become a yashar. Because over there, it's not about your relationship with Hashem. That's the point. When you're developing your own personal relationship with Hashem, so then you have no right to break that link and to take ownership of the course of things and to divert out of the context. But when you're helping other people, that's not your personal matter. Over there, you need to advocate as much as you can. Look at all the options. Help the person explore the options. They should be a tam. They should realize that you were sent to them to help them, and they should realize you're that guide that can help them. But for you, you can't sit back and say, don't worry, let's just trust in Hashem. No, your role is to be an advocate. That's the difference between a tam and a yashar. And I like that story because it connects directly to the Maharal. The Maharal says one other fascinating point. He says that another point of being a tam, of having the wholeheartedness, is being pulled after Hashem. Being what we would call passive. Being in a sense where you're being pulled after Hashem. You know, like, you know, we want to be like a candle. The candle that's flickering, it flickers up. We want to be able to we want to be able to be drawn after Hashem. We want to be able to be drawn after the system. We want to be able to be sucked into the whole system, the whole thinking, the whole process, the whole guidance of Hashem. That's what we want. If we're too active, pulling away from that, or making our own engineering our own cleverness, then we're not being pulled after Hashem. Part of a spiritual existence of every human being is to listen to the fine callings that we have in our life. And that fine-tuned calling that we each know about our role in the world will only come when we're passive. And that's what temimus, that's what wholeheartedness brings as well. It connects a person, it draws a person back. It's kind of like what do they call it? Active listening? Active listening? You know, like, if someone's talking, and I'm thinking to myself what I'm going to say back, then I'm not really absorbing what the person is saying. If Hashem's calling us, if there's a certain system, there's a certain approach, a certain guidance, and we're too busy and wrapped up in our own discussions with ourselves about how to navigate, then we won't hear, we won't be pulled, and we won't, that's the relationship. That's the basis of the relationship. We won't be pulled, and that is the way the relationship has to be. The relationship is such that a human being, the creation, is being pulled, is being like drawn, that's a good word, is being drawn toward his creator, his or her creator. Being drawn toward the creator. Having that sublime drawing towards Hashem. That will only happen if we're pure of heart. And that's an essential That's essential, fundamental to the relationship we have with Hashem. If we don't have that, we're not being drawn after Hashem. Then we're just busy with our own lives and we're not really being drawn to Hashem. The way we're drawn to Hashem is by being, having like an inner silence, if you will, and listening to what's my role, what's happening over here. So how's this playing out? What role do I play? How can I actualize myself in this situation? And then how will things will be introduced to me along the way? Well, what then? I need to listen to that. I need to hear. Is that where I need to actualize myself? As opposed to cutting the link with Hashem, not being drawn to Hashem, being, you know, building ourselves up where we are. That's not the spiritual relationship that we can't build a spiritual relationship like that. It's like we know, like if we will, if you don't mind me using the analogy of a marriage, right? If you want to bond with your spouse, you have to listen, you have to hear what your spouse is saying. If you want to really break a relationship, we have to listen, right? Otherwise, it's me doing my thing and her or him doing their thing, and it's like coexistence, but it's not a relation. The relationship is the drawing of the two people toward each other, right? That can only happen if we listen. We have to hear the other person, not the way we think we hear the other person, but really listen to the other person, right? That's the relationship that's built with Hashem, and that is another element of Tamimus. So we have Tamimus is that you're with Hashem, and another thing is that it builds the It builds that drawing toward Hashem. What do you want to say? You want to say something? No?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Actively listen.
Yeah, actively listen. Okay, well, I want to actively listen. The more I talk, the less I can listen. That is exactly what Bilam, we all know, was the ultimate trickster. He was the ultimate sorcerer. Right? And when he saw the Jewish people, he was astonished. He said, "Ki lo nachash v'Yaakov v'lo kesem v'Yisrael." There's no fortune teller. There's no witch. There's no magician amongst the Jewish people. The Jewish people, Yaakov and Yisrael, the Jewish people, the core, if you will, the collective consciousness, what the Jewish people, the fabric of what the Jewish people is that we are a people that are temimim. We are wholehearted people. We just want to be drawn after Hashem. We just, as a people, that's really what we want. Now there are, you know, when I say Jewish people, there, we have all kinds of people. But what, you know, many of us, whether we personify that trait of the Jewish people or not, that is a trait of the Jewish people. And Bilam, in his prophecy, he was able to see, Hashem gave him the vision, and he was astonished. Because all of that is that's the magnificence of the Jewish people. They were drawn after Hashem. So how do we accomplish this? How do we accomplish being Temimim? So it says a beautiful thing. Torah Hashem Temima Meshivas Nafesh. The Torah of Hashem. Hashem is called a Tamim. Hashem is called wholehearted. Hatsur Tamim Palo. God is called wholehearted. The way He acts in the world is without tricks. God's not out there to trick us. God's out there to guide us. Hatsur Tamim Palo. Everything He does is perfect. It's with guidance. It's with love. That's what Hashem is doing for us. He's Tamim. So the Torah which Hashem gave is also Tamim. Torah's Hashem Temima. Hashem's Torah is whole. How is it whole? Because we could talk about that as a whole class unto itself. But how is the Torah whole? Essentially, because the Torah is there to complete the person. You see, before Adam sinned, he didn't need the Torah per se. Because Adam, first man, was a Tam. He was whole. He was whole. Adam Arishon was whole. He had certain mitzvos and so on, but essentially Adam was whole. Adam had that affinity, that connection with Hashem. He was following Hashem. He was just a creation of Hashem in the Garden of Eden. Why should he not last forever? Why not? Well, what did he do wrong? Nothing. It's only once he incorporates a deficiency of having the, you know, the choices of knowing good and bad, and having to make choices and all kinds of schemes that the serpent, so to say, put in him, then there wasn't that clarity anymore. Now he's deficient. Now a human being needs the Torah. Well, great. Then what does the Torah do? It makes you a Tamim. It makes you a wholehearted, because when you learn the Torah, an aspect that can be gained through the Torah is that it restores your confidence in Hashem. It restores your trust in Hashem. Right? All of us that learn Torah, and we do this every Tuesday night, but all of us learn Torah in other venues as well. All of us that learn Torah, we realize, we see how Torah learning builds. It builds our confidence. We can trust Hashem more wholeheartedly. We're willing to be with Hashem. It makes our pursuit of a relationship with Hashem more meaningful. Using the analogy of a spouse, sort of like when you take the time to invest in your spouse, and it's not just, you know, having the relationship with your spouse on a day-to-day basis, but you're taking out special time to invest into, to spend special time together, whatever that might be, with your spouse, so then it's being developed, it's being enriched. And then you have, then on the day-to-day, on the day-to-day, you can go, you can coast day-to-day now. Because coasting isn't so bad for a while until your next opportunity, because you're coasting, there's more meaning, there's more mission, there's more passion, there's more motivation to maintain the relationship, and everything is richer. Right? So that's Torah Hashem Tamima. The Torah of Hashem is whole in the sense that it creates a sense of wholeness, and it's Meshivas Nafesh. It restores your soul, which now goes back to Hashem, connects back to Hashem. So it's through Torah learning. That's how we become Tamim. It's through an attitude of, I decide, you know what, from now on, I'm going to listen to Hashem talking to me, so to say. I'm going to listen to those cues on how to follow Hashem. But it's also nourished through Torah learning. And now we can appreciate what we learned. And we'll conclude with this. That's what we say when we can, that's what we appreciate. We say at the Siyum, we say, Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha. I want my heart to be whole with your statutes. I don't want all the mitzvos that I learned about hachnasas orchim and hachnasas kala, and we learned about all the mitzvot of tzitzis, and I don't want these mitzvos to serve my own, you know, my own inclination to just serve the way I see myself in my bubble, you know, disconnected from Hashem. Quite the contrary. I want the mitzvos to serve as a reinforcement that I should be tamim, that I should become wholehearted. They should enrich, even though I invested myself in Torah, which is intricate, there's a lot of workings, there's a lot of avenues. Nevertheless, I don't want that to make me a, you know, conniving, manipulative person who can do all kinds of trickery and craft all kinds of ways. I don't want the Chachmas of Torah to do that to me. I don't want the wisdom of Torah to do that to me. What I want from the wisdom of Torah is to build my confidence. Yehi libi, may my heart be tamim b'chukecha. Leman lo yivosh, so that I'm not embarrassed. Why would I be embarrassed? Because someone gives you something, it's supposed to be one way, and you use it a different way. Hashem gave you the Torah, Torah Hashem Tamima, and you take the Torah, and you revert it, and you use it for something else. So then Hashem says, what'd you do with my Torah? What'd you become through my Torah? Look what you did. So that's called L'olam Lo Yivosh. I shouldn't be embarrassed in the eternal world. Kivam Chiyasani, because you entrusted me with the Torah to enliven me, to make me alive, to invigorate me, to give me, to restore my wholeness with you. So that is what the Torah is. That's our mitzvah for tonight. That was all an introduction. I'm just kidding. Okay. But that is our mitzvah for tonight. Tamim tiyeh. If we are tamim, if we are wholehearted to listen to what Hashem is bringing our way and to actualize ourselves in that way, then we'll be im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. And that's piercing the core of what a Jew is. Like Bilam said, the core of what a Jew is to seek after the, to be drawn after Hashem, as opposed to building our own life, fortifying ourselves, and, you know, having our own, you know, laying out all the options and choosing from the options and becoming crafty. No, it's all about being drawn after Hashem. If something comes your way, you actualize yourself to the maximum because Hashem's bringing it your way. But to realize that, generally speaking, we're listening to what does Hashem want for me in this situation, not to open up new windows and new boxes and look for new opportunities that are beyond what's going well and what's successful. That's called Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lokecha. It's a mitzvah's essay. It is a mitzvah, and like the Baal HaTurim, like Rashi, the Baal HaTurim, everyone said, that is the foundation. That's why the Taf is big in some Torah scrolls, because this is what the major principle of Torah is based on, this lifestyle. So we shall all have the zechus, the merit to actually establish our lives with this principle, this one principle, which goes throughout everything, follows through everything. And that's a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Ashrei temimei derech, haholchim b'derech Hashem. Praiseworthy are the people who are temimei derech, who have a wholehearted path of life. They go through with Hashem's Torah. Their one objective, I'll read the last paragraph of Rav Hirsch, paragraph of Rav Hirsch on that. Listen to this beautiful English, actually written in German originally, translated beautifully into English. He says like this, the pasuk says, forward stride those who are of moral integrity in their way of life, who walk in the law of the Lord. Tehillim 119. And it says, those who are whole in their conduct, who make all their conduct conform to one single principle, and allow that principle to guide all of their lives and ambitions. This principle, which shapes every aspect of their lives, both physical and spiritual, is to walk in the law of Hashem. They are haholchem b'toras Hashem. To walk, to move toward a goal, includes all directions that our physical or spiritual life may take. So we direct everything toward walking in Hashem's way, and that's called temimus. That's called walking with Hashem. Thank you very much, everybody.